Don't be discouraged. The man, he ain't so hard to understand. You know, he's not trying to make trouble. He's just stressing out like every other fan. Well, there's good in every team. Things aren't always what they seem. You can always find a winner if you try. Hey, things will be better. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, they will for Parker and the man. Oh, yes, they will for Parker and the man. Even though Mike Wilson, he can't understand. Parker and Wilson.
All right, we're starting this, boys. Ladies and gentlemen, I get a sun-kissed orange. We're coming to you on our Christmas Holiday Week podcast from the Parker compound in beautiful Southfield.
And we have a special guest.
John Davis is once again, he's going to represent all those Lion fans, all the peoples. But before we do that, congratulations go out to Dan Kennedy from Algonac. It's a real name and a real place. Algonac, Michigan. He wins our ESPN. You've been to Algonac?
Yes.
Oh, John Davis has actually been to Algonac. He wins our ESPN Detroit T-shirt for being the first to email at parkerandtheman@yahoo.com.
Can I show you this?
What is that? Is that a holiday pie?
German chocolate cheesecake.
Is that Ooh, nummy.
No?
Okay.
Richard, you like German chocolate, don't you? We're not cutting it now.
Then why are you going to show it if you're not going to cut it?
John's thinking it's a German. Jawohl! Schnell in the German chocolate cake.
Nine.
So again, congrats, Dan Kennedy. If you want to win an ESPN Detroit T-shirt, perfect for after the holidays, just be the first to email us at parkerandtheman@yahoo.com with anything you got. If you do a Parkerism, he had one. I don't remember what it was. I probably should write him down. But Dan Kennedy, give it up to Dan.
Give it up.
He's one of our big fans.
Give it up.
Say his name.
Dan Kennedy.
There you go.
Good job.
Good job. Okay. Woo! How about that, huh? Good looking stuff. Final home game of the year, 2013.
You introduce us, or we didn't even do
no,
that?
We don't know. We don't need to do that. Because we have the music, and they know where they're at. Okay. Yeah. This is not the radio show, dude.
All right, I just want to make sure.
23-20 the final in overtime. You'll know that by now.
They didn't lose to the Giants, did they?
Lost to the Giants. Even Giants. I was watching all the Twitter stuff, and one of the Giants people were saying, do we seriously lead 13-3?
They couldn't believe it. They've watched the Giants all year. And then even Eli, he made a lot of bonehead plays. He was bad, Mark. The Giants even tried to – they fumbled in overtime. Here you go. Driving down. Here you go. Here's the ball.
So I don't even know where to begin with this. Maybe an overview or maybe let me go through. I have notes. I got notes. The game was 3-3 in the second, and then that Matthias Kiwanuka. Reggie Bush fumbles, and they even noticed this on the telecast. Kenny Albert and Moose and Goose all said, why is he hanging his head? He looks down, looks depressed. Now, the only thing I said was, remember Bush came with the comment, I'll never fumble again, and he's fumbled a couple of times since he said, I'll never fumble again.
Right.
His too.
I totally agree. That he came out with that.
It was a stupid thing to say. Yes. He should never,
you never say that. You don't do that.
You don't make guarantees.
Well, he doesn't need to do that. Don't say you're not going to fumble again. Jim Brown fumbles. Adrian Peterson fumbles.
Everybody fumbles. And the way people play defense nowadays, trying to punch the ball, you know what I mean? For you to even consider that, it's hard. Because guys aren't trying to tackle you. What are they trying to do? Knock the ball out. So they put extra effort to try to punch the ball. So this whole idea, dude, and it's history. Reggie Bush, Mark, I have to say this, lived up to his total billing, right? Everything about Reggie Bush before he came to Detroit, I'm not saying he didn't have a good season.
There's always a reason why the other team don't want you
no more. He misses games with injury, and he fumbles. Is that not his MO? Yes or no?
Has been since his days at USC.
And that's what he did.
The thing that got to me about Jim Schwartz, if you really want to put the final nail in the Schwartz coffin, did you guys catch this, too, when he declined the holding call on the Giants? Did anybody really make a deal about this? I said, why are you declining the holding call? Instead of making it 2nd and 23, he makes it 3rd and 13. Then, of course, Eli gets 14 yards on the next play. I say when you're struggling to get yards, push them back further. Because that led to the Jernigan touchdown pass. Jarrell Jernigan's first NFL touchdown pass came off that series, and that made it 10-3 Giants at the time. Now, it's a small minor thing, but it shows once again how I'm not sure this dude in 5 years figured out exactly how to be a head coach in the NFL. Small little things like that. Why would I say it? Normally I'd say, okay, you know, you take the penalty, you push him back 10.
Mark, the Giants had, before that pick six, you know, to tie the game, 8 yards. Eight. Your defense gave up 8 yards in the second half, and then, you know, up till that point, and you lost, and you lost the game. You lost. And people looked at the other one, Mark, which was 23 seconds to go, 2 timeouts. They're afraid to – they have no confidence in Matthew Stafford. You're at home.
Rob, you're at the crib. 2 timeouts. You have to take at least one shot down the field to get in the field goal range to win the game.
I thought you were disagreeing.
This picks it up just fine. I know there's heat. We haven't even said Merry Christmas to people. Look at the emotions. Look at the passion.
You have to take at least one shot down the field to get in the field goal range to win the game. You're at the crib.
Because you know what could happen? Throw the ball down, pass interference. There's a lot of things that can happen. Maybe somebody's even open. How about that? And maybe Matthew Stafford, you're playing the New York foosball Giants. Because it wasn't football this year. It was foosball. That's how bad they were.
Or foosball.
Right? Am I right?
Put the L in there, too.
This ain't the Giants that won those two Super
Bowls. No, shadow of that team.
I didn't even recognize most of them. Did you?
No, Justin Tuck and a couple of dudes.
And even that pick. You know what? When Justin
Victor Tuck, Cruz didn't even play.
No, he's hurt.
Victor Cruz is out. He played last week, did not play this week. In fact, this first game I think he's ever missed.
Did you see the interception by Tuck? Was that thrown right into his breadbasket? And there were about three or four.
He hasn't made a pick in 7 years.
What?
Is that what it is? Yeah, he only had two in his career. And he's a defensive lineman.
And the other one is, there were about three balls that the Giants just didn't catch. Early in the first half, Matthew Stafford could have easily had 4 touchdowns.
Well, that goes to, look.
No, I'm just saying, there were balls missed that weren't thrown well.
Look, I know New York doesn't give a pass to its people or its teams very much. Don't forget, this is a team under the same coach who Lawrence Taylor even came out and said he wants gone, has won 2 Super Bowls for you. 2 of them! Eli Manning has won 2. Do you know the price you pay for winning 2? You start spending money you shouldn't. You keep players around too long. That's the excrement that comes from the greatness. It is. That's the price you pay. The Lions and their people should be so lucky to have 2 Super Bowls and then overpay people, keep people around too long, they're scared to make some moves. You don't want to touch the quarterback.
Super Bowl? Can I get a playoff?
Well, that's what I'm saying. So the people that say, wow, look how bad the Giants are. There's actually, if you go back into history and you look at most Super Bowl champions, multiple ones, they end up having these kinds of seasons 2, 3, 4 years later.
And they have to rebuild for a season or two to get back on that Super Bowl winning
level. And this is their year. This is that year that probably was bound to happen based on, like Rob said, you don't even recognize the Giants from there. There's no Umanora and all these guys. They're gone now. That thing's changed. But that's the byproduct of the NFL when you win and you want to keep that ride going. Now, they did. They won 2 Super Bowls. And this quarterback here does not look like the man who played in 2 Super Bowls. He 26 picks in the season now. That's the most, you know, that's a franchise record, I believe, for the Giants. Not just an Eli record.
And don't forget, they had a chance at the end of the regulation when he threw the pick. They were marching in that drive. Right,
and then GQ made the pick.
Yeah. Right, when Eli threw that bad pick. He had a guy open, too. And I just, Mark, let's just enough with the Giants. The Lions. I said before the season, and what did I say? First of all, I picked them to go 7-9. But after that game, did I tell you they wouldn't win another game?
Mm-hmm.
I said they wouldn't win another game. John looked at me crazy when I said they weren't going to beat the Giants today. They weren't.
But all this stuff plays into the idea that they stink still. There's a big talent deficiency still, in my opinion, which is why I picked them 5-11 in August. I'm a couple of games off. That's all I am, a 5-11. I mean, you went 7-9 and still, you know, that isn't good enough. But I had him at that level, and only a couple of wins separates him. Why? Again, you get the safety. You know, it's a great play. Sue and Fairley get in there. They have safety, and they got the Super Bowl quarterback. What do? Strut their stuff. They're doing this. Nate Burleson is still doing first down. And Kevin Ogletree, if you could ever make a damn catch, first down.
Come on, Kev made a catch today. That's all I want.
That's what I'm throwing his name into the mix.
He does the Roy Williams.
He's doing the shimmy shake, and Fourier makes a catch that wasn't a touchdown, and he's shimmy shaking. And they're doing that thing. I should just shut up. Jesus, with the shimmy shakes and the dancing and the first down. You know, Roy Williams, I thought when he was gone, that left that legacy alone. No, the only guy, even Calvin's the only guy, and he caught three balls today and probably shouldn't have played in the first place.
But he's injured. There's no doubt about it and everything. But Mark,
Kenny Albert says, does Calvin Johnson get enough credit for how much he means to this team? Kenny, where have you been? Seriously. Since 07.
Seriously. Really, you can't beat the Giants. You gotta have Calvin.
No.
You gotta have a Calvin Johnson. No. You have to have Calvin Johnson to beat the Giants. Calvin Johnson to beat the Giants.
You need Theo Riddick to try to beat the Giants. He scored a touchdown.
I'm sorry.
The Chronicles of Riddick.
That's not a bad movie. I like that movie.
So my favorite part of this thing. Here comes Will Bill Hill. That is his real name. His given name is Will Bill Hill, not William Bill Hill, not William William Hill. It's Will Bill Hill the third. So it's WillBillHillII. That's his name.
You know where that name would be perfect? In an old Western.
Will Bill Hill. And he led the team in tackling, Will Bill Hill did, as well as making that pick on the Fourier tip. So it's 20-20 in the fourth with the 5 minutes to go. We only know that. And then the sack of Stafford, then the GQ pick, and they go to the overtime. And then the Andre Brown fumble. And here you are at 4th and 7. For Eli Manning, and he completes it to Jernigan. And this guy came out of nowhere. And the kid, he's beating the crap out of you today. I mean, the whole thing. This was one of those games that if you do the SOL, same old Lions things, this may go number one. Even over last week, even over the, 61-yard field goal is a fluke, and it happens, and some things weird like that will lose you games. You had, arguably, how many minutes in overtime did they play? 10? 8?
8 to 10 minutes, yeah.
68 minutes, and you couldn't figure out how to beat a team that lost 23-0 to the Seattle Seahawks. Granted, they're great, and they're going to the postseason. They're going to have a bye and all that. Who lost to the Cardinals, the same team you lost to earlier, at home. Russell Wilson's first ever home loss. He's 14-1 now.
Lost two. They lost to the Packers on that Monday night. I won't get over it.
Well, his record was 14-0. Russell Wilson was 14-0.
No, he was caught right. I'm just saying that they did lose a game before this, but I got you.
So Eli goes 23 of 42 for 256, the touchdown and the pick. Here's Matt Stafford, 25 of 42, 222, no touchdowns, two picks, 53.9. This is in year five.
Mark, let's just break down
Matt. Year five, these are though.
Are you ready? Look. People said it's the sidearm. It's no big deal throwing a sidearm. Well, when you lead the league, a ball's getting batted down. He's throwing off his back foot all the time. His mechanics are bad. He has so regressed. And now what do we have? 15 interceptions and 2 fumbles in the last 8 games. And let's go to this. And you know what? If you watch Sports Final Edition Sunday night, Mark, everybody who I keep hearing say, you can't blame Jim Schwartz. He's not playing. He's not tackling. He's not throwing interceptions.
Come on. Why are we talking about that?
No, because you know why? Because the same way you give a coach credit when I never hear anybody says, don't give him a new extension. The players played well. He had nothing to do with it. Have you ever heard that?
No, because in that scenario, you change coaches every year.
Exactly. No.
New ideas, new thoughts.
It just had nothing to do. Right. Okay. And this is what I'm talking about. In the last 3 years, Mark, I want to give you. They were 5-0 3 years ago. Finished what? 5-6. Last year, 4-4. They finished 4-12. This year, 6-3. And now they're 7-8. Right? Lost 5 of 6. My point is, they've lost 13 of 14 games in the second half of the season. Unbelievable. If I've never seen a coach have to get whacked or fired or whatever you want to call it, it's him. They can't finish seasons, Mark. There's no other way of looking at it.
Well, Jim Schwartz, after the loss to the Giants, said that speculation's not his business.
And but it's our business.
Oh, yeah.
He's out. He saw it. He can't see tomorrow. I don't care if they got to pay him $12 million.
John,
they paid Mooch $11.5 million.
I'm not saying don't that he even, shouldn't be.
No, John.
Like I told you earlier, that display down there at Ford Field today, Sunday, June 20, no, it's not Sunday, not June, December 22nd.
You wish it was June.
Yes. Was a fireable offense.
They lost to the New York.
His 5 years are a fireball.
John, I just gave you numbers. They lost players and first round picks, Mark, they lost 8 straight last year, inconceivable. And this year, 6-3, no Cutler, no Rodgers. Here you go on a silver platter, and you don't win the division?
Right. John, we said this last week. The Super 7, I said this to you before.
Yeah.
They didn't play one of them.
Yeah.
And I'm going to now include Cam Newton and Carolina.
Go ahead, Mark. Give the teams.
They didn't play Drew Brees, didn't play Colin Kaepernick, didn't have to play Cam Newton, didn't have to play Kansas City with a rejuvenated Alex Smith, obviously. Yeah.
Didn't play
Peyton Manning, only the 51 touchdown passes, breaking the record.
They didn't play any of the best teams in the league.
I have a Super 7. I didn't do that. Didn't play Tom Brady. I didn't do this in week 5. I did it at the beginning of the year.
And they won the game, right? They played the Packers without Aaron Rodgers. So who did they beat?
Lost the game with Aaron Rodgers.
Who did they beat?
The season? I guess you could say Romo and Dallas would be their one sparkling victory.
When you look at Dallas, and I know they got a chance to win a division like they have the last 3 years, except for what? They lost both. And now they lost to Washington.
Now it comes down to Philly and Dallas next week. No matter what, if the Eagles had lost Sunday night, which are killing the Bears.
Which has been moved to the primetime game now.
It should be. But we've seen it before.
Is it really?
Yeah, but we've seen it before.
I got to restructure my schedule.
Well, we saw that.
Sorry, Mark.
That was supposed to be a 1 o'clock
game. We saw last year against Washington, right? They did it, and then we saw it the year before when the Dallas and then the Giants played.
Damn it. Look. I think that's a major deal because it was set up for you.
Yeah.
Everybody said this year was set up. Everybody told me, how can you even think 5-11? Switch it around.
No,
11-5.
12 wins. I heard 12 wins, 11-5.
I said 10, and I was totally wrong.
Some football fans were smart. They looked and said, hey, we're not playing Drew Brees. We're not playing.
Right.
We're not playing all these guys.
Right.
Look at the schedule. Oh, no, this is a...
The schedule lines up.
And how sweet is that win over Washington, a 3-12 team now?
It's not that sweet.
Not a big deal anymore. You got your win in Washington. You finally broke that streak, but you beat a crappy Redskins team.
That
was so bad they took their stud quarterback and sat him for Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins. You might as well have played Rex Grossman today.
Well, no,
Kirk was fine.
It ain't that bad when you got to start Sexy Rex.
I don't know. Well, I don't know. Didn't Sexy Rexy Grossman play in a Super Bowl for Lovey?
Yeah.
Okay. Super Bowl quarterback are you laughing at today? All right. That's all I'm saying. Just a couple of other things before we get to the finish of the season. Don't forget that the first Monday Night Football game ever played at Ford Field was the Giants. Just wasn't the Lions. It was the Giants and Vikings.
Because of the roof collapse at the Metrodome, which is closing.
Yeah.
Which is closing.
We'll get to that in a second. Yeah. It's only the second time the Giants have ever been to Ford Field to play the Lions. So only the third time at Ford Field, second time to play the Lions. The last time they played in Detroit or anywhere near was at the Silverdome in 97. So they're not even used to coming here. And this was Eli's 150th start. And don't forget, it was the Lions he can credit for starting him because it was when Mariucci's team put Kurt Warner down 7 times, sacked him, and put him on Silly Street. That next week is when Coughlin, in his first year, started his first-year quarterback, Eli Manning, right after Kurt Warner. Warner came back in one more time that season. Since then, Eli hasn't come out since. And that's 2004.
Wow.
See, I understand the Eli Manning thing. He's played a lot of football. He doesn't come out of games. This is 10 years in the NFL. Before that, he played 50 games or whatever it was at Mississippi. He's worn down. He's probably burnt out. He's not like his brother. His brother had to miss a year to get back to this level. Eli probably could use the same kind of thing. Maybe not for injury, but just miss a year. Maybe all NFL quarterbacks should miss a year and come back at some time.
Yeah. I want to just sit here and be like, okay, all right, I told you so and all this other stuff. And it's not – I get all the time, oh, you just hate the Lions. Oh, you're just a hater. No. How many times – you don't know, Mark, if I showed you how many texts I got from people are like, oh, no, the Lions, they're not going to lose this game. You know how many times I hear it all the time. And then you even have some radio guys in town who pick them every week and make excuse.
Time to read this then.
Excuse time after time after time.
Let me read this to you. This is from one of those blogs. This guy's pretty good. He's the administrator at one of these blogs, and he wrote this. This is today. It's called The Morons of Detroit Sports Media. Okay, this is how it goes. It's not very long. As recently as this past week, I was seeing newspaper articles asking aloud whether Matt Stafford is an elite NFL quarterback. I've also heard certain radio talk show hosts describe him as above average. I've got to ask. And then in caps he writes, what planet are those blind buffoons living on? Here's the. It's not that long. Seriously, have any of these F-tards watched a single Lions game beyond the midway point of the current season? Did they watch more than one or two Lions games in 2012? Anyone who thinks Stafford is anything better than an inconsistent, underdeveloped quarterback who is prone to making terrible decisions is either clueless, delusional, or a liar.
What was he today? He was exactly what he just described, wasn't he?
And this, I think, was this was during the game, or it wasn't over yet when he wrote this. I am so sick of these spineless. There's another. I won't use it. Spineless.
Don't do what I know. Don't do it.
It's what you would call a kitty cat. I'm on the blog. I could probably do it, but I won't. In our local sports media.
Sorry about that.
I'm becoming one because I'm not saying it. In our local sports media, giving this guy the benefit of the doubt. He's horrible. The long-term contract the Lions organization gave this guy will prove to be very costly. And the fact that, I can't believe he wrote this, but Sean Hill has seen no playing time this season is a disgrace. How many interceptions in a game does Stafford need to throw to be benched? 10? All the ad dollars Ford and Ford dealers spend on local advertising have everyone running scared. At best, the criticism is going to be mild and diplomatic. Channel 7's pathetic sports department is bought and paid for by the Lions organization. Channel 4, can I do it? I'm going to read it. Channel 4's sports department is, well, just pathetic. Bernie mails it in. Jamie asks questions one would expect from an airhead. The sad thing is, I'm just reading what he did.
I'm not. He didn't mention me.
No.
Okay. Well, I'll take that as a compliment.
He just used those two because that's their department. Sad thing is, Fox 2, whose sports director is the play-by-play voice of the Lions, is the only one to talk in some level of detail about the Lions' deficiencies. But even that is tempered criticism at best. And that's from a guy MW who writes one of his
blogs. That's not bad, actually. I thought it was the other way around. I thought he was. I understand. I think that's legit.
There's a lot of truth in there.
There's a lot of truth.
Mark, I mean, a lot of levels
Mark,
of truth. A lot of onion.
We all know a lot of guys who work in this business. And I'm sorry. The excuse making and all the other stuff, that's what I keep saying. I mean, I listen today, and really, it's not. I listened to this. First of all, he's picked the Lions to win the last five games, I think. And number two, it's not Matt Stafford's fault, and it's not Jim Schwartz's fault. Whose fault is it?
Well, it's not the defense. It's not the return game now. Not the kicker, necessarily, because he doesn't even get chances to kick anymore. This isn't even tri-field goals. I guess it's Ford. It's Mr. Ford.
The
90-year-old man's fault.
Yeah, okay. It's
always Ford.
I don't even get it. I don't understand why people...
Owner pays money. They're paying good money. They're paying good money for a quarterback, for a wide receiver, for a defensive tackle. They're paying good money. That's what the owner does. He's giving you a beautiful facility and a great practice facility. You know, I'm not the one to defend William Clay Ford Sr.
All I'm going to say is stop hiring novice. Stop hiring these coaches. Schwartz, right? Because they come cheap, Mark. No to Jim Schwartz. No to Rod Marinelli. No. No, go out and get you a real coach. And you know what? They tried to do it with Mooch. Didn't work out. I'm fine. Don't run away from it. Go get you a guy who has done it, has respect from players, and who's gone to the Super Bowl or won a Super Bowl. That's what I'm tired of the novice.
Rob, Mark, who was that guy then?
Well, we said it last week on the podcast. We'll get to it in a second because I wanted to bring this up. I disagree with Rob on one thing. I don't think it's a money thing. Schwartz is owed $12 million if you fire him. They paid Mooch $11.5 million. They did it. They didn't wonder if they would do it. They did it. They did it. They said he had to go. Gave him $11.5 million. They're about to fire Schwartz. Probably Mayhew. I don't know if he'll go. Martin should go. He should be gone, but I don't trust him. I don't trust him to make the right hire.
Mark, here we go. Before the season started, I had the whole clubhouse confident moles. The Lions had to win a playoff game for those guys to stay. And remember, unless
all the guys, what about Tom Lewand? Why do we not value because that a president of a club should have some, you know, accountability in this too?
Because I don't think they look at him in that way of making those kind of decisions that he oversees the whole operation. I don't see Tom Lewand going anywhere.
You think he's a clerk, don't you?
Pencil pusher. Overseer, right. Not a football guy. So
not like Chuck Schmidt, who right. else do you call well, the bean counter?
Well, he was a bean counter, but he was a GM making player moves. That's the difference. I just think that...
And what guy who was the GM that took you to six postseasons are you laughing
at? Yeah, I know.
At?
Are you laughing at today? But I think Mayhew has to go in and convince them. And he's going to have some ammo because a lot of people have said this team has way too much talent to be as bad. But he has to go in and convince them, A, that I've gotten you to bought the right groceries and they're right here on the table and he can't cook. But remember, he hired that guy, so then he has to also be careful about saying, not me, it's him, right? Because didn't you hire him, right? You hired him, so that...
Hired him and gave him another deal.
Right, so there's the other part, so you got to be real careful about that. And we've seen it before where normally both go at the same time. But what happened with the New York Jets last year? Right? They kept Sexy Rexy, and they got rid of Tannenbaum, right? So the GM got whacked. They said that he didn't get them the right players, but they got the right coach. In this case, some people love Mayhew and the players he's gotten and think that they have enough talent to win. I don't think you have enough talent to win no Super Bowl or anything like that.
No, sir.
I don't. I really don't.
Can we just get a playoff? Just take
no,
the step.
No, you can't. Not until things are corrected so that you're not piece-working a team together during the season. Jeremy Ross was a piecework thing. Where was he at the start of the year? Would have been great. Well, he started with Michael Spurlock.
He was with Green Bay fumbling balls, and Green Bay got rid of him. That's where he was.
I mean, I will give Martin Mayhew two moves. I think the Fourier thing we said it last week, was outstanding. I don't know how you found him. He didn't get drafted at UCLA. He was sitting there for anybody to take, and nobody bothered in seven rounds. And then you got Jeremy Ross because you saw Spurlock kind of flaking out a little bit. Then he gets hurt anyhow. So Ross comes out, and what did he really do? He had a couple of snowy touchdowns, and he had a nice return today. He's not exactly Devin Hester, all right, before you go putting him on the Pro Bowl squad. You know, that's fine. But they at least had some semblance of a return game, of which they had zero the last couple of years. Yeah. Even the 10-6 year, they had zero. Stephon Logan was already starting to fade then.
This is my issue. And I'm not saying Mayhew hasn't done some good things, because I think he has. But, Mark, when you hire, when you promote people who were here
under moron
Matt
head.
Matt Millen and Owen 16.
Did I just call him moron head? Did I call you that, Matt?
You don't have to go through all that. But when you do that and you look, it's got to be better than what you had. And it's not, hasn't been. It's still what I always say, pro sports is a short menu. Wins and losses. There's nothing else. Mark, you're a GM.
I agree, whether it be an overtime or by 50.
That's all that matters. And you know what? You can't take solace in being a GM and go, what do you want me to do? I got the players. What do you want me to do about it? It's him. Well, how did he get here? Oh, you hired him? I'm serious. How do you separate yourself from Schwartz? You'll separate now? Because, Mark, just what you just said. He shouldn't have got that other contract. Why'd you go rush after he's 10-6? Remember, he finished 5-6 after the 5-0 start. So you could have said, pump the brakes. I got to see more before I'm ready to just go out and run and give
this guy so contract. Desperate right. to have a 10-win season. So desperate just to go to a playoff and get ramrodded by the New Orleans Saints.
But the two worst losses were the last two games of the year.
Here's Schwartz. Schwartz, people, this is what you live by. You just live on your menu. He's 29-51, including the playoff loss. That's an average of 6-10 for each of his five seasons. There is no scenario to bring a guy back when he averages 6-10 in the National Football League. It's never happened before. No one's ever come back after averaging 6-10.
And your competitor, one of your division rivals, right? What happened when the Bears got off to a good start? They still finished with a 10-win season. Not good enough, Mark. Why? They didn't make the playoffs last year, right? Thank you, Lovey. Appreciate it. We went to the Super Bowl with you? Thanks. See you later. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. That's an organization trying to make things happen, trying to win. That we have talent here. We should be better. 10-6, they didn't make any excuses and say, well, he still won 10 games. You can't blame the guy. Well, it just was numbers. No, didn't happen.
And players liked him.
And they like.
It wasn't like he was ran out of town on a rail because the players didn't like
him. Some players were very upset that he got
upset. Lance Briggs to this day is upset. I mean, he barely talks to Mark Trestman. Trestman's tried to mend fences with Briggs, but Briggs was very angry. Urlacher was angry. He's out of football. I mean, I'll tell you something. Brandon Marshall and Cutler and those guys, they weren't happy because they weren't really thrilled about Trestman's schemes. They knew what they had coming in. This is a longtime quarterback coach who was going to micromanage them. Lovie didn't. Lovie let their OC do the work and the thing, and they called the plays, and they played football. They knew Trestman would come in, and I know that because I have been with Trestman twice, once in Miami and once when he was here. He was here with the Lions. Bobby Ross hired him in 97. He's quarterback coach. He wasn't a mystery to us. We knew Mark Trestman. And you know what? Through all this, you still beat the Bears twice. You beat the Bears twice. You had a 4-1 going into the final week in your division record, and you're not going to get to the supposed promised land, at least a playoff. Are you crazy at 6-3? Oh, I love the people. I wish I saved every text and every call, even during in-game.
You hater. You. Why do you hate
in-game?
Why do you hate the Lions? You're a hater. Blah, 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 blah. No matter what the Lions do, you never give them credit. I've heard everything. I used to get all the texts as well.
And you know what we don't do, John? I don't text people when the Lions. This we really hated the Lions.
No. Right.
Ha, ha, he.
Never. I never said. I get the texts.
I get them all the time. In game today, when the Lions were up 20-13 or whatever it was, 2013. Mm-hmm. This is going to happen. They're going to win. The Bears and Packers won't win. And then the final game, and the Lions will win too. And that'll be it. They're going to the playoffs. And watch. They'll go deeper. They took a lead.
Ask John what I said to John in the press box. Now, Mark.
When it was 20-13?
20-13. Yes. And wait a minute. The Packers had just fumbled or did something, right. And so and they were down by 10 because they got the Steelers had returned.
Steelers.
Yeah, the Steelers and
Packers. The
Steeler Packers.
That game was up in the press box. We were watching that. That just happened, and then John
he turns to me and says, "Watch out for pick six."
That's exactly
the very next play.
Exactly what I said.
Pick six.
Did you do your usual walk away from people?
Yes, that's it. Yes,
what did I do,
John? He does this thing where he struts.
Right, wait a minute. And I almost said, Pro Football Writers Association of America rules say that there's no...
I didn't share.
There's no strutting in the...
There's no strutting.
You do that strut, though, I do. To walk away.
Don't I walk away? I walk away.
I've seen it for decades.
Yes.
It's decades then. We were second decade.
I said, John would say something. Well, if they win here, I said, dude, you gotta win this game first. I said, you better make sure you don't throw no pick six. And then the next play.
Will Bill Hill. He is the new Darren Sharper. He has now gone into Lions lore. Okay, so look, we expect the firing at some point. Do you expect him to at least coach the Minnesota game?
Yeah, I do. I don't think they're going to do that.
I wouldn't. I'd dump him and have Gunther finish the thing. Yep. Seriously, I would dump him and I would have poorly in the NFL, Linehan or Gunther.
The Texans did that. They said they're not waiting for what?
Kubiak went down in a heap. I mean, they could have at least.
They were like, dude, you're done.
Body got warm, but they dumped him.
They were like, okay, we'll have some sympathy. The guy passed out on the field. You almost died.
Fired that guy.
Right. Oh, no. Dude. Hello? You still in the hospital? Okay, yeah. I don't think. Don't come.
No, you want to show a commitment to your fan base?
We don't accept this.
Monday, very calmly, Jim Schwartz has been relieved of his duties. He'll be paid for the remaining 2 years of his contract.
Thank you very much.
Gunther and Scott will both coach the final game. They both have, in fact, Scott will. You know why? Because Linehan was in Minnesota. It's the final game of the Metrodome. Won't that be cool? He'll coach, and then it'll complete. You'll forget about Schwartz by 5 o'clock. Seriously, you'll forget Jim Schwartz ever existed by 5 p.m. on Monday if you do it that way.
It's not a bad, and you know what? All it does, and we've always said this. Thing I hate about the Lions, just the way that they do their business, they never cut guys. They never do that. They always try to be, no, this is unacceptable. You know, like, and you're right, Mark, that would send the fan base, we're not the Lions.
Before the season's over.
This is unacceptable by the coaching staff. How in the world did you just lose at home to Tampa Bay, Baltimore, who, of course, I don't know, where they finally get a touchdown after 8 quarters today? How did you lose to Tampa Bay, Baltimore, and the New York foosball Giants, who have had a horrendous season? No cruise.
All at home.
All at home, John. Are you kidding?
End of story. Good night, nurse. Jim, been fun. Here's your 12 mil. Have a good day.
Good night now.
Good night now. Safe drive home. I even tweeted that, by the way. That's what I would do. No, hey, you gave it a whirl. Remember we said this about Ross?
Right.
Jim, you gave it a shot.
Okay. It's okay. You just didn't. It didn't work.
It's how you land afterwards that'll define you as a guy and as a football coach. Maybe you go back to coordinating something. Maybe you get
another shot.
I don't think you'll get another shot as a head coach, but no, most Lions guys don't. The last Lions coach to coach another NFL team, and I'm not using Dick Geron because he was an interim, was George Wilson, who left to coach the Miami Dolphins. He was the first coach of the Dolphins before Shula. And we said it last week. My criteria for a new coach, we'll talk more about it next week, you must have gone to a Super Bowl. That puts Lovey in the mix. That puts Wisenhunt in the mix. I even threw up Mike Holmgren's name. Rob didn't like it, but I'm saying he's still relevant.
He's just been off the beat.
I understand, because he's been up front with the Cleveland Browns.
He's in the front office too long. He's been off the field a long time.
We'll get more into that, though. But
do you want a coach who's actually coached in the Super Bowl as a head coach?
Correct. Or coaching the Super Bowl as a head coach. I've seen coordinators. I'm done with coordinators. No more coordinators. No more. I mean, Marinelli wasn't even a coordinator. He was just the D-line guy that everybody liked so much. Had to have him. Got to have him. How can I not have this guy? And Jim Schwartz, got to have him. Got to have him. And it's not a hatred for the guy. I always liked it. From day one, I loved this guy. I mean, we did a thing at the Buick Open, Jim Schwartz, just he and I, and it was the best time I've had in a long time talking to a football coach. He has a lot of knowledge. He's a smart guy. He's a Georgetown. You know, he's got a lot going for him. He's not a head coach in the NFL. He's not. He's a pretty good coordinator. We saw what he did when Tennessee came here on Thanksgiving Day. Killed the Lions that day. Killed them. At his position as a coordinator with the Tennessee Titans.
Here's a name, and I want to get your thoughts on this name. David Shaw.
You want to bring a college guy because he's got Detroit ties from Stanford because he'll do like Harbaugh. I don't believe that. I don't want David Shaw. David Shaw can go take somebody else, but I don't want David Shaw. I have no affinity for a guy who's never coached the NFL as the next coach of the Lions. Absolutely not. Perfectly wrong choice. Couldn't make a worse choice.
But give me Lovey, who's the opposite of what this fan base wants. They want a fiery coach. Lovey's not.
I don't give a crap what the fan base wants. I want a guy who wins games and gets me to the postseason. What do you mean they want a fiery coach? What's wrong with Schwartz? Schwartz does this and he's smashing Jim Harbaugh on the back.
But Lovey has went to the Super Bowl. He hasn't won the Super Bowl.
What team that just lost five out of six?
Bobby Ross came here with, I went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and he took you to two postseasons.
You should go to the postseason, John. Let's not,
went twice.
But the Schwartz thing, it's the collapses at the end. That doesn't bother you.
I'm not advocating for Schwartz. I want him gone.
But let's not.
But I'm not gonna. If you're gonna bring someone in, just
If you hold that argument, then
who's won a Super Bowl?
But if you hold that argument, then Shaw
they're not available.
Who's available?
Mike Tomlin could be available, but I don't think he will be now. Mike Tomlin could be a guy that's available. He'd be number one on my list. If you want to give the guy a second chance, and Pittsburgh does the stupid move because of the antics this year, and they decide to part ways with Tomlin, I couldn't get to him fast enough. Well, that's fine. I'm good with that. There are just not many available that have won the Super Bowl. Gruden's won it. Yeah. Fine, call him. See if he's
right. Right. And you know what?
This is just an example. Gruden's on my list, too.
Well, Mark, I always say.
Power's on my list.
Oh, you can't get them. You can't get those guys, too. They're working for other people, right? They're not independently wealthy. Right. So if you're working for ESPN and you're Cal, you work for CBS, you know what that means? There's a price, right? There's a price to give up that cushy life on television. And if you really want John Gruden and you say, I got a Ford dealership for you, right?
Wherever you be creative.
Where do you want it? Where do you live? You want one down in, you live in Tampa? Where? A Ford dealership. I'll make that happen. Plus, we'll give you this, we'll give you that. We'll give you the right to pick up players and have, you know, some input more than just your normal coach, whatever. Anybody who works for somebody else is available. I don't care what anybody
In 1991, 92, when Brian Murray was let go, just let go, I bet, I think my Vegas odds on getting a guy like Scotty Bowman to an organization that become a sad sack organization.
Yeah, but right. But look, Brian Murray, they used to win a lot of games, Mark. They used to win.
He took you to the 100-point level.
He used to get to the 100-point level, but they could never win in the playoffs. And they said, okay, enough, Enough with that.
But if you thought that way, you never would have gotten Scotty Bowman to come to Detroit. Why would he come here? Don't think about it now. Think about it pre-Bowman.
Think about it, the 35-year drought. Wasn't it 35 years?
They were a sad sack.
Yeah.
They'd only gotten better because Jacques Demers took them to a playoff level. Mm-hmm. Brian got them to 100 point. They hadn't been to the Stanley Cup, though, since 1966 or whatever it was. It was a long time. There were a lot of broadcasters who said, that's not a good job to take. I don't care how much Mike Ilitch has. A lot of owners have money. I wouldn't go to Detroit. What have they done there in the last 40 years? Nothing. Their history goes back to the 50s. That's original six stuff. So when Bowman came around, I went, they got Scotty Bowman. They got Scotty Bowman. When's the last time you, I mean, maybe you, because you said Mariucci, our savior, has arrived.
That was a guy, I mean.
That was a little bit of a head turner. Yeah. But we know the affiliation that Steve had with Izzo and with Michigan, right. and he was from here.
But it still was a head turner that they went out and got a coach of that. But we talk about it all the time. The other thing, too, is don't forget, Rick Carlisle had some success here with the Pistons before they went out and
said, 250 win season?
Right, And people at first were mad, don't you remember? The reaction was like, you got a young coach, what are you doing? Larry Brown's been everywhere. What has he won? Right? Because he hadn't won in the pros. He won a chance in college, right? But he hadn't won in the pros. And what did they do? That next year, they beat the Lakers, won a title. Next year after that, they go back.
We have Detroit examples of how this works. And there's, you know what? There should be no reason it can't work with the football team.
None. I totally agree.
All right, look, we're going to do the same exact talking next week.
No, but this is a Lions show.
I know. Lions finish at Minnesota Sunday. They're going to bring in 700 extra security people for the finale at the Metrodome to avoid the near riot they had in 81 at the final game at the old Metropolitan.
Trying to steal stuff and tear stuff down.
All fans will get a commemorative pennant, so you don't have to steal anything because you get a pennant. Vikings got drilled at Cincinnati 42-14. Adrian Peterson, only 45 yards and 11 carries, wasn't even the leading rusher on his own team. I can't remember the last time that happened when he in a game he played. Cord Patterson had 54 on three carries. This was Matt Castle on Sunday. 13-27, 114 and three picks. Quarterback rating 32.6. Andy Dalton was 27-38, 366 and four touchdowns. His QB rating was 136.5. Cincinnati had the ball for 19 minutes more, and the Bengals scored 14, 14, and 14 each of the three quarters. My whole point of this is they finished the game up at Minnesota, finished the thing up. Minnesota's 4-10-1. They'll be pumped, I suppose, last game at the Metrodome. You know, people will be pumped. If the Lions win, they're 8-8.
They're not winning that game. I don't see that either.
I just don't want that to be a fool's gold game.
No. After the Giants game, I'm
right. No.
Even a Lions fan, they're out of playoffs, Mark. That for them to win that game would be told. Nobody would say, "Oh, they're 8-8. They were just 2 wins away from 10." No. When you're 6-3 and you go down. It is total. I don't think anybody will buy into that.
Well, if I'm Jim Schwartz and I still think that this is not going to go down like normal NFL teams, wink, wink, Ford family, he walks in and says, I did double my win total from last year.
Please.
If you say mandate is playoffs or bust, then it's done deal anyhow. If I'm Jim Schwartz and he's allowing me to come sit in front of him, the old man, and he says, well, how'd it go, Jim? Hey, Mr. Ford. I won twice as many games as I won the previous year.
No.
We're on the right track. With the program. I got two more years at $12 million.
But what I heard was they needed to win a playoff game. That they weren't even – this whole notion of just getting to the playoffs and you're supposed to celebrate it. I was told that's not going to be enough. Mark, only four teams haven't participated in the Super Bowl. Three are expansion teams and the Detroit Lions. Enough, okay? How long is this going to go on?
Well, can't we count both Cleveland Browns?
No. What are you talking about?
Well, there's two sets of Cleveland Browns.
No. The Cleveland Browns that are in Cleveland now are expansion team.
Cleveland. Yeah, but the city of Cleveland has never experienced a Super Bowl. Throw that in there?
No, but I'm saying it's an expansion team, though. That's an expansion team.
But the city...
No, what are you talking about?
Cleveland has never... They're an NFL town.
Even with the original Browns, it's now the Ravens.
Have never been to a Super Bowl.
No.
Cleveland didn't trumpet the Baltimore Ravens.
That's not... You're just missing my point is that
three other teams are just all... I throw Cleveland in there.
I don't throw Cleveland. The only team that... Only city is Detroit, okay? That has... The franchise.
Don't franchise then because the city, Cleveland...
That's what I mean, franchise.
You don't feel bad at all for the Cleveland Brown people.
Oh, no.
All right, look, let's do our little break thing for a second so I can even open my orange soda, which I haven't done yet, and that's very important. I've got a spot first before Rob does his. I'd like to come out in favor of Christmas cookies. So during this holiday season, if you go someplace, especially this week, because Christmas is, what, Wednesday?
Wednesday.
And Christmas Eve is?
Tuesday.
That makes sense. Please enjoy Christmas cookies. Let me tell you something. I love Christmas cookies. Does Rob have some?
Christmas cookies?
Rob? Oh, he's got, I'm having some. So all I'm saying is, enjoy Christmas cookies. Can we eat like all of these? I'd like to have all of them.
How are they?
They're very good. I want the one with the orange in it. Christmas cookies. They're not just for breakfast anymore. This message from the Christmas Cookie Council of America. All right, Rob, do your thing. Here we go.
And for the best haircut in Detroit, make sure you go to Sporty Cuts, 7 Mile between Outer Drive and Myers. Sporty Cuts, the best mark, $10 all-even haircuts, $8 for boys. You need the best cut in town. For the holidays, you want to get spiffied up, make sure you make it on down to Sporty Cuts. Hey, Mark.
Yo, Rob.
Go get Sporty Cut.
No, we're good. We're good. What do you got? Let's see. ParkerandTheMan@Yahoo.com. Check our Twitter page. We're getting more Twitter people all the time. Rob, what do you got? You got your little Final Four or whatever it's called? Sports Final Four. What you call it, Final Four?
Oh, Sports Final Edition, Clubhouse Confidential. And I got a fresh column.
Fresh column.
I like that. Fresh column.
Fresh.
TheShadowLeague.com. So you got to check that out. Basically, Mark, after seeing the Sin Su Chu signing, I tell all fathers to take that football and basketball back to the store and go buy your kid a glove, because baseball is giving out the loot, man. You need to, there's money to be had. I looked at the top 15 salaries in sports history, top, you know, contracts. Baseball has 14 of the 15 spots. The only one is Floyd Mayweather, who's tied for ninth. But everybody else on that list are all baseball players.
And for those that asked about Chu's 7-130, which was only $10 million less than the Yankees, we now know the rate that you have to pay. It's $10 million if you don't want to play in New York, because Chu just did not want to play in New York. He was deathly afraid of playing, in my opinion, in New York.
Which is so weird, because
he didn't want the adulation, right, and crowd and the thing. He didn't want all that.
Which was because
you ain't ready for it.
Godzilla played great in New York.
Yeah, you think? I mean? Yeah, there you go. That should be his. That should have been his thing.
But,
well, it's true.
No, he did. He played great in New York. He was a World Series MVP for the Yankees.
I agree. So that was the thing
that's
there.
That's sweet. You've had a great run with the Yankees.
Other NFL, we already know Bears and Packers. We've been packed. Although Le'Veon Bell, what a great day for Pittsburgh. 124 yards and the winning touchdown.
He fumbled today. First fumble, right?
He had a fumble, but he's going to be. Everybody fumbles.
No,
Reggie.
I know.
Hey, Reggie. Cheer up. Put on
Never
the big boy pants.
Ever again.
Put on your big boy
ever.
Pants. Be an adult. You're going to fumble. Get over it. Smile. Man. By the way, the Steelers eliminated regardless because of the Chargers winning Oracle. Oh, I got to mention, this
they
is phenomenal.
They needed like eight things to happen. They weren't making no plans.
This
they
is phenomenal.
Did you see the list?
We saw them in the first spot. They're like eight. This has to happen. Hell
it
has to
came down to the Chargers and the Raiders.
Chargers, whatever.
I had a guy call
Geno Smith and needs to fart for the Jets. I mean, it was just like crazy.
I swear to God, guy calls me and says, you're wrong. I said, hello to you too. Merry Christmas. He says, you're wrong. Even with a loss, the Lions can still get in. Tell me how they, wait, don't go crazy. I'll let you talk. He says, if the Lions lose and they win in Minnesota, they go 8-8, and then the Bears win. And they, how is it possible? Why do they keep saying that? I said, I'm waiting for him to finish. Are you done? Are you done? Yeah, because there's no way that that game doesn't matter in the thing. I said, the one way it can happen is because the Bears and Packers are playing each other, you nitwit.
So one of those teams have to win.
Or tie.
Hello.
Right,
even
hello.
A
even a tie, right. Hello. If they now that could have happened if they weren't playing each other, after, right? But that's not the case. But that's just
he, all he said was, "Oh, never mind." Hung up the phone.
Right.
That's all. I just wanted to get that in there. Denard Robinson for the Jacksonville Jags in a loss to Tennessee, 2016. Actually, had a rushing total. He had 11 yards rushing. Denard did on one carry. This is his season. This has been like nothing. And Brad Meester, I thought that was a cool deal. Did you guys see that? The center for the He played 14 years at center for Jacksonville every game. It's his final game. He's retiring. He's got six daughters. He's got a wife, six kids. They're all girls. So in the final game, they announced him as eligible at center. He caught a pass from Chad Henne. He even went 9 yards. Place went crazy. The family went nuts. You know, for those kinds of stupid, you're not going anywhere.
I hate him.
I know
you
do.
No, I'm not into all of that. the chicanery and all that
stuff. I said, does Brad Meester have to catch a pass in the NFL? He's a center.
And then,
why does he have to catch a pass? But I thought it was cool.
Remember the talk that Mariano was going to play center field, play the outfield for the Yankees?
He finally said no to that idea.
Please, don't go
that
out.
That came like pretty close to
don't
happening.
Don't go out like that. I don't want to see him. All right, would you have liked that?
No. What if he slipped and fell? And...
it just shouldn't happen. Mariano, you're not an outfielder. Stop it. That's where you got hurt before, shagging balls.
Rex Ryan does say he expects to be fired, despite the Jets beating the Browns 24-13. He can go back to making foot fetish videos with his wife.
Is that what he said? He said he
well, not about the foot fetish videos. No, he told the team he expects to be fired.
He should be.
Well, you're not getting anywhere. They're not getting anywhere.
A long way, baby, from the two back-to-back AFC Championship games. That's, what, 3 years ago?
And I'll be honest with you. His foot fetish stuff is pretty good.
Stop it.
It's with his wife.
Oh, stop.
Carolina, we mentioned them already about beating the Saints 17-13. At one point, Cam Newton was 1-3. Now they're 11-4. That's how you do it, right?
It's not that hard.
Not genius material.
And did you see the way they won? Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. Sean Payton gets a lot of credit for being this genius. I get it with the Saints.
Won a Super Bowl.
I've seen them blow two games this year on the road. Did it to Tom Brady and the Patriots, where it's Mark. Third and three. Run the ball in the middle of the pile for no gain, right? You're not going to run for a first down. It's just not going to happen.
Unless you're Adrian Peterson, that almost never happens.
It just never happened. You're afraid to let your quarterback, Drew Brees, throw a pass, right, to get a first down. Because, Mark, you know, if you get the first down, game's over. Did the same thing today against Carolina, and that's how they lost the game. They need the first down. Game's over. Third and three.
They gave it to Ingram.
They hand it off right into the pile for no gain.
Mark Ingram had a pretty good day, though.
And then Cam Newton comes right down.
What is that? I can't even make that out. What is that?
Well, that was crazy. The Patriots win. Unicorn show ponies.
Oh, right, okay.
Right, against the Saints, right.
Peyton Manning, if you didn't see it, the 50th touchdown pass to Ty Brady. All-time record was to Eric Decker. Great pass then to Thomas, the 51st.
You know what that means, all that stuff?
Bupkis? Zero. Over 5,000 yards only.
Nice. What a playoff game. Call me.
Well, I mean, the guy did win a Super Bowl, so he's got that in his back pocket.
But that's not why he's in
carry one in, though, with you. That's pretty good.
Is that why he's in Denver?
I think he's in Denver because Denver had some issues with Tim Tebow.
No, but
just a couple.
He
won a playoff game.
He did win a Super Bowl. I'm just saying that's all that stuff is.
Tebow did win a playoff game.
All that stuff is dressing, window dressing. It sounds nice or whatever, but if he goes in and throws a pick like he did last year in the postseason, none of that will matter.
All right, look, that's the NFL. Big Dallas-Philly game next week. Now we know it's in prime time, and that screws me up, but that's okay. College football, Spartans leave for Pasadena this week, as every team does when they play in the Rose Bowl. They go on Christmas, usually Christmas Day. Michigan used to always leave on Christmas Day. I guess Mark D'Antonio have to figure out how this works. Stanford, your David Shaw, will be playing in the Rose Bowl, and then he comes and gets his big NFL deal down the line. Where did he go to high school? He went to high school here, right? Detroit?
Yes.
What high school did he go to? Do you know? Your boy Shaw? No? Don't know? You don't have to look it up. Doesn't matter. He ain't getting a Lions gig. Doesn't matter. And then Michigan is in the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl. 7-5 Michigan. Kansas State 7-5 out of the Big 12. Well, you know, they play a bowl game. It's still a game they try to win. Saturday night, 10:15. It's always a primetime game on a December 28th bowl game. 10:15 on ESPN. Michigan 100th in rushing in the country. Lost four of their last five. The only win was the 3-overtime win against Northwestern. Here's your names for Bill. Is Bill Snyder still coaching that damn Kansas State thing? He's like 100. Jake Walters is their quarterback, although he and Daniel Sams kind of trade off. Sams is like a wildcat quarterback guy. Tyler Lockett, wide receiver, junior, 1,100 yards, right, 8 touchdowns. They got some numbers. They got some guys. John Hubert and Sams together, 1,750 yards rushing, 20 touchdowns between them. Although Fitz Toussaint and Gardner together actually had 23 touchdowns between them this year. You know, that's why numbers really are meaningless. If you just looked at Michigan's numbers, even if you look at Devin Gardner, his last four games he had 8 touchdowns, no picks. He didn't turn the ball over on the air his last four games, and they lost 3 of them. He also had 21 touchdowns and 11 picks this year. There's worse numbers in the world. And Jeremy Gallen, of course, 80 catches, 12, 84, and 9 touchdowns. Rob, let's make a pick on Michigan and Kansas State in the big Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl on Saturday.
Kansas State, big.
Big. That's your gut, or are you
more,
going with...
More than 10 points.
Really, why?
Because they... My gut.
Because they see better competition during the year?
I'm just looking at it and just saying the Michigan thing just feels so bad to me. I don't think the players are going to be up for that.
All right, well, we did this last week. It was very popular. People wanted to know, so that's your pick. I'm going to pick Kansas State, too, but I'm going to pick it close. I think it'll be a closer game than that. A neutral field in Tempe. State was able to beat Texas Tech. Well, I didn't think that would happen last year with Connor Cook, of course, who should have been quarterbacking the whole year. So now I think that'll be too much Devin Gardner for Kansas State's defense. But bowl games week two. You ready to make picks?
Let's do it.
Monday, we already made this one, but I forgot what it was, so just do it again since it comes in our week of the Holiday Week podcast for Christmas. Beef O'Brady's Bowl at St. Petersburg. The Bobcats of Ohio U at East Carolina. I don't remember what we picked last week.
I picked Ohio.
Did you pick the Bobcats? 7-5 out of the MAC, 9-3 out of CUSA. I'm going to go with the East Carolina. That's what I picked. I think I picked East Carolina.
I think so.
Christmas Eve, the Hawaii Bowl in Honolulu at Aloha Stadium. 8-4 Boise State out of the Mountain West versus 6-6 Oregon State, the Beavers, out of the Pac-12. Rob, where are you going?
Ward, don't you think you were a little hard on the Beaver last night? I'm going with the Beavers.
Oh,
that's an actual line from the...
Dude, it's one of the all-time classics.
All right.
Did you see the I Love Lucy in color, by the way?
No, I turned in...
I tuned in
at 9 and it came on at 8, right? I missed it.
Was it good?
You can watch it on demand.
How did it look?
Really good. No, really good, actually.
Look good.
Yeah, it really
did. She
looked
red. Her hair
looked
was like
they did it last week.
Her hair was red, red.
Red on fire,
oh,
red.
Yeah.
What was that?
Timer.
Oh. Thursday, day after Christmas. This is the big one now.
Elizabeth,
I'm coming to join you.
I got a big one. The Little Caesars Pizza Bowl at Ford Field. You got your... That's John Davis, John. You got your 6-6 Pittsburgh out of the ACC now against your Bowling Green out of the MAC who beat Northern Illinois. 10-3 BG. What do you like in that Little Caesars hot and ready $8 deep dish pizza bowl? Well, it was like a promo for Caesars.
All right, Pittsburgh.
I'm going to go with BG. I'm going to say Bowling Green beats them.
Only thing I don't get is, it was weird. You could buy a ticket. I'm just trying to figure this out. You buy a ticket and then they give you 9 more? Is that how it goes?
You buy one, get 9 free?
Right. I thought that.
Where'd you see that one?
I thought I saw that somewhere, no?
Is that hot and ready?
I don't know.
Or is that a pizza joke?
That's just a pizza joke.
Because actually, I thought that was real.
Yeah, I mean, that's the sad part. That's the sad part.
You know what? They could probably afford that. Hey, buy one ticket, get 9 free.
Well, buy a hot and ready and you get 9 free tickets.
It's like crazy bread or something. Same night, the San Diego County Union Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl. 8-5. Yeah. I think it's at Jack Murphy Stadium.
It's good.
Well, it's a Qualcomm. Jack Murphy's
the Murph. The Murph.
Jack Murphy Stadium. Utah State against there's Northern Illinois' game. 12-1 out of the MAC, Rob. With Jordan Lynch, who finished third for the Heisman.
What are my choices again?
Utah State, Mountain West. And the number 23 ranked Northern Illinois Huskies, Jordan Lynch.
Northern Illinois.
I'm going to go with that, too. I'm going to go Lynch in his final game. Probably final game. Friday, December 27th. There's a number of games on Friday the 27th. The Military Bowl at Annapolis, Maryland is Marshall out of the CUSA 9-4. Maryland, I will now say, out of the Big Ten at 7-5. Rob, Marshall or Maryland in the Military Bowl in Annapolis?
I'm going with Maryland.
That'd be their first Big Ten victory. I'm going to count it as their first Big Ten win if they can beat Marshall.
They can't take any
Big Ten thing. Texas Bowl in Houston at Reliant. 6-6 Syracuse. Jim Boeheim will be coaching the football team, too, out of the ACC. And Minnesota, with their surprise year, Jerry Kill, who had those seizures on the sideline a couple of times. 8-4. He's doing well, though, out of the Big Ten. Syracuse, Minnesota, and the Texas Bowl.
Minnesota.
Going to go with the Big Ten Golden Gophers. I'm going to take Minnesota as well. Fight Hunger Bowl in San Francisco. BYU. Boy, isn't that weird? Candlestick Park's going to be gone.
They're playing at AT&T?
Yeah, I think the Fight Hunger Bowl is not a Candlestick.
Yeah.
No, it's at AT&T. They're playing on the baseball field.
Baseball field? Yeah. Wow. Brigham, which is a beautiful stadium. Come on.
Oh, AT&T.
My favorite baseball stadium.
I just wish it wasn't called that.
Oh, my God.
It was called something. I didn't like saying AT&T.
You know what? Bell. I totally agree.
Pac Bell is a sponsor, too.
No, I love it. If it,
you like Pac Bell?
No, I like Candlestick. Like, that was always, am I right? What a classic name. I'm just saying. For the name of the stadium.
Well, because that was at Candlestick Point. It was actually at a place in San Francisco that's called Candlestick Point. It didn't have. It wasn't Candlestick Credit Corporation or anything.
No, it was Candlestick. I just.
BYU and Washington, 8-4, both teams.
BYU.
Now, does Sarkisian get to coach the Huskies, or does he go right to USC and doesn't get to coach them? I don't think he gets to coach them, right?
No.
Some coordinator coaching the Huskies. I'm going to take BYU because Washington will be pissed about Sarkisian leaving for Southern Cal. The new era Pinstripe Bowl in the Bronx at Yankee Stadium.
It's like the old days. They used to play football.
Yeah, I know. Rutgers, 6-6 out of the American Conference, the new American Conference, and Notre Dame.
No, Rutgers is
coming to the Big Ten.
That's,
I got to throw them in too. You're right. If I'm going to do Maryland, I got to do Rutgers. So Rutgers played their first Big Ten game, Rob, against the team that always shunned the Big Ten, Notre Dame, at 8-4.
I'm going with Notre Dame.
I think Rutgers. I got to go Irish, too. You're going to go with Rutgers?
Rutgers.
So that's two more Big Ten victories, right?
That's right.
I wasn't even going to count Rutgers, and I have to do it, I guess, too. The Belk Bowl in Charlotte, North Carolina. 9-3 Cincinnati out of the American. They're not coming to the Big Ten, are they?
No.
Versus North Kakalaki, 6-6 out of the ACC. Rob, Cincinnati, three games better than North Carolina. What do you like?
Baby, did you ever wonder whatever became of me? I'm living on the air in Cincinnati. Cincinnati, WKRP. The real station is called?
WPIG.
Nope.
Wasn't it WPIG?
No,
was that one of the stations?
No.
KMP?
No, WKRC.
Ah, okay.
Which was Cincinnati. They just changed it to KRP.
So you're taking the Bearcats. I'm taking.
Yes.
I'm going to take the Bearcats. Yeah, I can't go with the 6-6 Tar Heels. And finally, the Russell Athletic Bowl in Orlando. Pretty good matchup. Miami, 9-3. Miami of Florida. The ACC and number 18, Louisville, with the potential number one pick in the NFL draft, Teddy Bridgewater. Louisville, 11-1 out of the American as well. Rob, Miami or Louisville with Teddy Bridgewater?
I'm going to go with Miami. Miami.
I'm going to go with Teddy Bridgewater and Louisville. On to basketball. Pistons at Cleveland on Monday. Pistons 7-6 on the road. 13-16 now.
Wins last week, and then you know what? The Bobcat one was one. I understand.
Lost to Charlotte and Houston at the Palace.
I understand. Houston's a good team. Okay, I get.
Although
that.
Dwight Howard hadn't had a 35-19 this year.
No, he had a big day against the kid, right? 20-year-old. Okay, I got
Did
it.
Did he really say that? Did Andre Drummond actually say to Dwight Howard, "Thanks for the lesson"?
Yes,
he got schooled. I mean,
okay, AD, don't do it again.
Ever.
I don't want to hear a quote saying thanks for the lesson from Dwight Howard.
No, but he
thank you, though, okay?
He understood that he got what you call. He got taken to school by
I can watch that. I don't have to have him say, you know,
say thank
hope
you
didn't get an autograph, too.
The Bobcats loss was the bad one because they were drilling them and then just died in the fourth quarter. But they had the big wins, Mark. They're down, 20 to Boston or 21 in the second and won that game. And obviously, they beat Indiana. Who else did they beat? They beat...
Well, that was the two games. They've had the two big wins on the road, Indiana and Miami, and they're 7-6 on the road. That's a positive thing at 13-16.
That is. That's all you got to do is play .500 and then win your home games, but they just lost.
Look, I'm the one who said last week on the podcast, I think there's a winning streak in them. They haven't had one more than the four, and the only other thing they had was a two game. Everything else has been win one, lose two, win one, that kind of thing. They are at Orlando Friday, terrible Magic team, and then home and home. They have a home and home back-to-back thing with the Wizards on Saturday and Monday. So they've got some games to win here. Games that are winnable games. Games against bad teams. They play a lot of good teams.
That could be a four-game win streak right there.
That could be one of them right there. But you're right. And Brandon Jennings has been warned by the NBA for flopping. He did a big flop in the Rocket game. That was so stupid that I knew he'd get something for that.
Soccer
but
playing his life.
You know, I'm not going to do my weekly assault on KCP's shooting abilities. So I'll Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, you get a break from me for a week.
Good. I need a break from you.
You had that one break. You want another one? Other NBA, Oklahoma City now with the best record again in the NBA, 22-4. They've won 9 of 10. Indiana and Miami, the only Eastern teams over 20 wins. In fact, they're the only Eastern teams even close to 20 wins, and they're actually at 20 wins. I don't think there's really that many surprises right now so far, Rob. We're about, what, third of the way through the NBA season, getting close to a third.
Well, the real bad news is then Brooke Lopez broke it.
Well, your boy. It's your guy. He's down for the year.
That's unbelievable. I mean,
Kobe's out again.
The youngest guy of the starting five is Brooke Lopez. And imagine that's the guy who gets hurt. And they needed him. I mean, I don't. Unless Houston's going to trade their other big man, you know what I mean? Like, they need a big man.
Well, Omar Oshik has been on the trading block since the minute that it was announced that Dwight Howard was coming to Houston. Right. Why he's still in Houston, I guess they just can't find a trade partner. Because I know Omar Oshik doesn't want to be there anymore, and Kevin McHale doesn't want him there. But he sits on that bench and festers. That is really one of the oddities right now. Because the rumor was Oshik was going to... Where was he going? It wasn't New Jersey. It wasn't New York. There was another rumor mill about him going, and it was almost close. Like they were working on a deal. I don't know.
New York, I mean, the Knicks are just, they just keep losing.
That was the question I was going to ask. How long does Mike Woodson keep his job?
I don't know if they're in firing mode with Woody yet. He gets a lot of love there.
I
think Woody ought to go.
Remember, that's also a situation they're trying to get Carmelo to re-sign there. How in the world could you feel good about staying there with the state of the team and the roster? And I understand that Tyson Chandler, right, is hurt and whatever, but still, my goodness.
College basketball. Michigan State only game this week will be hosting University of New Orleans, the Privateers. They're 3-4, haven't played since last Monday. They play in the Southland Conference, a conference that is being led by, are you ready for this? The leader in the Southland is Incarnate Word University. It's a Bible school. In fact, they just had back-to-back wins over Open Bible University. That's the conference that they play.
It was an open and shut case.
For Open Bible, but not for... I just can't get past Incarnate Word.
And Little Sisters of Mercy.
I never heard of it before. 10-1 is what Incarnate Word is, but the University of New Orleans plays in that conference. Get used to the names Corey Dixon and Matt Derenbecker for one game. MSU's 10-1. And very impressive. Did you see the game against Texas? I did not think they'd win that game. I honestly said to people, they're going to lose in Austin. Texas is 9-1, unranked.
Right?
No, they had lost one. But they were unranked, which I know made Rick Barnes angry because he said, how could the great Texas be 9-1 when there's three lost teams in the top 25? And they weren't even getting a point for the top 25. Not even a vote. For the top 25, much less like be buzzing, you know, underneath it. But Adrian Payne goes in there. New House of Payne is in Austin. 33 points. He now leads the Spartans in scoring per game at 18. Gary Harris is down to 17.8. Second in the nation in assists. 10-1 going to this thing. And they open up the Big Ten season at Penn State on New Year's Eve. So, I mean, I was really impressed. It was probably the best game of the year. Because I just did not think that is a hostile crowd down there in Austin. That's a tough crowd to play. It's almost like Cameron Indoor a little bit, very on top of you there and whatnot. And I went, whoa, is this Spartans? This is the same team that Oakland U took to the mat there a little bit and lost to North Carolina, an unranked North Carolina team at the time. Well, yeah, they were unranked at the time, weren't they? Yeah, they were. Jumped up because of it. So State has that game, and that's all they got. There's New Orleans that is 4:15 Saturday at Breslin. Michigan, 7-4, did beat Stanford in Brooklyn at Barclays, 68-65. Nick Stauskas had 19. They will host Holy Cross, 6-5. That is Saturday at Chrysler at 6:30. They open the Big Ten season January 2nd at Minnesota. Michigan, 167th in rebounding. And, Rob, here's Michigan's record. Individual games since November 22nd. You ready? Win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win. If they keep that up, this is not even going to be close to last year.
It won't be.
Do they really miss Burke and Hardaway that much that this team has done?
Mark, I always looked at, and I hate to be like that, but I never looked at that Michigan was building anything. I think that they got...
It was a one-year run. That's what you thought.
Yep, I thought that Burke was so good and a great college player, and it just all worked, and he made a lot of big shots. I looked at that thing, and I never looked at Michigan. They're rolling now. They're going to be
a juggernaut
for the next 10 years, or Beeline has something going. I just looked at it. Everything fell into place. And they had that kind of special player for that 1 year where it could happen.
McGarry is a freshman.
Right. And that stuff. And how's McGarry playing this year?
Well, he missed the first bunch of games. He's been playing average. He's been an average player. He's not been a dominant player, but I think he's still nursing the injury.
To this day, and I don't know what, maybe they talked to him and they told him he wasn't going to get drafted, but last year when you had that run in the Final Four and people got to see him play, I always thought, dude, you don't want them to see you after that. It could only go the other way. It can't go, you know what I mean? He played great. And if he had a chance to go to the pros, and maybe he didn't, because there was talk about it. But boy, I don't know.
Maybe one of the scouts said, you know, you may not get drafted.
No, I think the
family erred on the side of caution with him.
But am I right though? Yeah. I mean, but Mark, you may never.
Didn't think McGarry was ready for the NBA by any stretch of the imagination.
When you play in big games and everybody's watching you, it elevates what people think of you. That's all I'm saying. And
I mean, like Marcus Taylor, who had a big game and then was drafted in the second round by Minnesota and never stepped foot on an NBA floor. Because he got the wrong advice, it should never have come out. They thought Marcus Taylor was going to be a first-round pick, and he fell all the way to the second, and the Timberwolves still took him. It wasn't like he didn't get drafted. T-Wolves took him. And he was with the T-Wolves. He couldn't even make the cusp of there being a D-League. So he went to overseas and did something. Right. Never played again. And even to this day, I thought, come on. Marcus Taylor at least was good enough to have at least been a 12th guy on an NBA roster. But look at that should be an example for guys. You gotta be really careful. Marcus Taylor should have stuck around, done the last year, and then he probably would have. I don't know. Maybe would have gotten something out of it. But Rob will just say that goes back to the fact that Izzo can't train a guy to be in the NBA. He can't get a guy ready for it.
It is what it is.
7 Big Ten teams already with 10 wins already. 7 double digits. That never happens before conference, even with crappy teams you're playing. And Michigan's not one of them. They're not one of the teams with the 10 wins. There's really no clear-cut stud in the country. Arizona, Syracuse, Ohio State, Wisconsin. That's your top four. Not one of those teams got a beeline to Cowboy Stadium in April. Not one of them. I mean, Arizona probably maybe the best of the bunch. Boeheim's got something going at Syracuse. Thad Mata's always got a pretty good team at Ohio State. And Rob loves Bo Ryan, he thinks. And that guy just keeps winning games.
Thank you.
What?
All I keep saying is, tell me the players he has, Mark, because I don't see him, but they keep winning. He owns his own. I give that guy credit because he's won a lot of games and he hadn't been there.
Red Wings get a shootout win. I'm looking at it. They beat Toronto, finally got a win in the shootout. They're 17-12-9. Toronto's fallen back by the board. They would start off great, but they're 18-16-4. Alfie and Datsyuk, Daniel Alfredson.
What's the matter, Alfie?
What's it all about? Alfie, is it just for the moment we live? John is not going to know that reference. Somebody else, Mickey Redmond tried it the other night, and I could tell that Ozzy and Darren Elliott, they had no clue what he was talking about. Chris Osgood had no idea. Alfie and Datsyuk scored in the shootout. That matched their entire total of 2 shootout goals all season. And Gus had the great save that was a second. It was number 2 on the SportsCenter highlight list behind the Memphis play, the University of Memphis. And I really thought that Gus's save should have been the number 1 highlight that night. But he did stop Van Riemsdyk and Mason Raymond in the shootout to actually get the Wings their first shootout win in 12 tries. Their first of the year. Bad. Really disconcerting to think that, forget getting wins, they couldn't score shootout goals.
Right.
Couldn't even get one. They had two all season.
With the talent that's on the Red Wings right now.
Well, even with the injuries, Datsyuk's been out and Zetterberg's out. He's coming back soon. Darren Helm.
Lightweight mass unit, but.
Islanders are at Joe Louis on Monday. Rob will be going because he has season tickets to the
Islanders. I used to have. That was at the Nassau Coliseum.
See, not at Joe Louis, season tickets for the Islanders. And then they go back to Florida for the second time in a month. To play the Panthers on Saturday. 7 of those 8 games are on the road. And then, of course, next week we'll be talking about the Winter Classic against the Leafs at Michigan Stadium.
Need a ticket.
You want to go to the Winter Classic, huh?
Yeah.
I got nothing else for NHL. Quiet around Tiger Town. Rob was talking a little baseball before. Don Kelly. This is big, though, Rob, and I think you got to give it up to Don Kelly. DK wins his second in 3 years, the 10th man award. Honored January 25th, same day as Tiger Fest, at the Bloomfield Hills Country Club. Don Kelly, for that award, hit 6 homers, drove in 23. I can't even look at Rob.
Ready?
Hold on. Let me finish the stats. 10th man award. 6 homers, 23 ribbies, and a 222 batting average.
Here's my response. Are you recording?
I am. I think Rob just died. I think he's dead. Someone, we need to get a, you know, a doctor in here, stat. Terrible. Oh, and Tigers are checking out Joel Panero. Maybe you've heard that.
Panero bread?
A little Panero bread. He's 35, 12 years in baseball, didn't play the last two seasons. In 2011, he was 7-7, 5.13 ERA with the Angels. He was 15-12 with the Cardinals back in 2009. If you haven't played in 2 years and your last year you had a 5.13 ERA and you're pushing 36, I don't think you've fallen that far that you can. I get you don't want to sign too many guys for $130 million. Joel Panero, what's his WAR? I'm sure his WAR is not very good, John. I don't think I've got to even look that up to find that out.
What's his WAR?
But I will tell you this. Let me just tell you this. Benoit going to the Padres and Veras to the Cubs, if you look at the money they signed for, it's a wash on Joe Nathan. It's a wash on Nathan. That's exactly the money they had budgeted. That's why Nathan, when someone says, hey, well, they gave Joe Nathan money.
I can't see the...
They took off Benoit and Veras off the
Benoit
books.
Is Benoit their closer in San Diego?
He's going to be the closer in San Diego. Okay. And Veras is going to be either the closer or setup guy in Chicago with the Cubs. But the combination, they actually saved a little money. Saved a little money, $1 million or $2 by dumping those two guys who could have acted as either closer by committee or eighth, ninth inning, whatever, or if you wanted to make Benoit your closer and just keep him there, to where you signed Joe Nathan and didn't have to re-sign these two guys. Because you're going with Jabba at a lower rate, and you're going to have Bruce Rondon, who makes barely anything.
Jabba
the Hutt Chamberlain. So all that was really a wash. And did you want to make any final comment about Chu going to Texas for the 7-130?
It's just, all I'm saying is there's a lot of money out there. I mean, Mark, when you look at his numbers, I know he's a leader. It's the eye-popping 423 on-base percentage. I get it. It's an unbelievable number, 423. I get it. But that kind of loot in the leadoff spot, 285, 21 home runs, and 54 RBIs. What?
The sabermetrics people will give you different numbers.
Well, because WAR.
Right. No, I get it.
Don't laugh at WAR. I like WAR.
What is it good for?
Well, absolutely nothing.
Say it again.
Right?
That would be correct.
Can we say one last thing?
No, because I want to finish on Chu. For the persons or person or whatever that called me and said, well, how come Texas can spend all this money? I'm just going to say it again. Because Texas ain't building a hockey rink. If you saw what happened this week with the city council and the DDA, you know now how much money Mike Ilitch has to come up with. It gets stronger every day in which to build this incredible entertainment complex that they want to put up right over there in Foxtown. He's going to... It's not a mystery. And by the way, when you hear this private investment, there's only one guy in the Ilitch organization. He doesn't have other people.
Right.
There's only, like a group if of I say who owns the Tigers, you say
Mike Ilitch.
If I say who owns the Red Wings, you say
Mike Ilitch.
There's no second person. Right. There's no group. If I say who runs Olympia Sports and Entertainment,
Mike Ilitch.
It's it. Ilitch is the private investment. He's not doling out for $10 from other people in Wyandotte.
You know what's always great when you think about that? I think I told you this before. When George Steinbrenner's group bought the Yankees from CBS in 1973 for $10 million. How much money did George Steinbrenner put in?
Probably nothing. $3 million, $2
million? Less than $1 million. And he became
from his shipbuilding business?
But he was the principal. He was the principal guy. But he didn't put up all the money.
Well, that was a conglomerate. We knew that they had actually bought. We knew that they were. Sole owners are hard to find.
CBS just wanted out. And $10 million is all they paid for.
Well, there's one person and one person only. I mean, Marian Ilitch will give you an argument about that, but there's one person in that chain, and when you hear private investment for the new hockey rink and it's the surround, it's Mike Ilitch. And if you think that money's just falling off the tree, you're crazy. Everybody's going to take a little bit of a hit. The Wings have already done it. The Tigers are starting to do it now. It's very simple. Doesn't take a genius. Christmas wishes? That's all I got left. Anything?
Just wish all my family and friends good health. That's all that matters.
John Davis?
All the best in 2014.
Well, we still got other things, so we'll have New Year's show. Right. You won't be here, though, right? Or you might be.
Merry Christmas and Feliz Navidad.
All I can say is have those Christmas cookies. Those are really good.
I don't want any more,
even if they're low fat.
The place where I ordered the German chocolate cheesecake, I got cookies. And I also got a macadamia nuts covered in chocolate. Guess who I gave them to?
Who? You get Bill Keenest.
Nope. Somebody at the Lions, though.
Someone's, you're right. Hold on. I got it. No, I got it. You gave him to Matt Barnhart.
No.
You gave it to Deanna Caldwell.
Nope.
John. I'm throwing all the Lions people in here.
Because remember, we went up separately.
But what did I say?
Was it a Lions player?
No.
Was it a media member?
No. Somebody we see all the time.
Was Risa there today?
No. She's not there anymore.
Well, I know, but sometimes she's in town. Yeah, she's in town.
Who did I ask for when I said I was getting on the elevator?
I seen on her Facebook that she's in town.
Who? Betty, who runs the elevator. And let me tell you.
He had the elevator.
And you know what?
I know that.
She was so excited. She just was like, I can't believe you. She said, I'm almost going to make me cry. I said, you are one of the nicest people. She's always happy, in a great mood. She runs the elevator for the Lions press at Ford Field. Her name is Betty. And I thought when I had these macadamia chocolate, I was like, who would really enjoy these and get a kick out of them? And I thought of her, and I gave them to her.
Betty, good for you. Rob Parker's very generous during the holidays and all year round as well.
Thank you.
All right, that's going to do it. Don't forget, ParkerTheMan@Yahoo.com. You can win an ESPN Detroit t-shirt. Be the first one to email Twitter at ParkerTheMan.
I follow you guys.
You should.
Follow us.
We're into the triple figures, baby. We're getting new Twitter followers all the time. We haven't even busted this out. And watch Rob in his little local four. Read ClickOnDetroit.com and Shadow League. Did I get everything? He's Rob Parker.
He is the man, Mark Wilson. Hey, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry New Year. Merry Christmas.
To everybody out
Feliz
there.
Feliz Navidad. Yeah,
absolutely. Right? Be safe. Enjoy it. Spend the time with the family. And we'll see you after that next week.
Merry New Year. Merry Christmas. NBC you later and all that jazz.
NBC you later. Man.